So imagine you're in a locked room, reading a book, watching TV, talking to a friend, whatever, and all of a sudden someone appears in front of you. And once you got over the shock of that experience, you'd probably wonder, are they real? Is this actually happening? Maybe I'm hallucinating, maybe they're a ghost. And you'd probably be especially doubtful if the person who appeared in front of you had just died. This is a pretty natural reaction. This is the reaction we see in the disciples today. And this reaction is natural because in our day-to-day experience of life, we know that people don't walk through walls, especially dead people. Generally, dead people don't walk at all. So that to overcome this reaction, Jesus goes to great lengths today to show that his body is real, that he is real. So he invites his disciples to touch him, to show them that he is solid. He is just as real as you and I are. And then he even asks his disciples for something to eat. And he didn't do this because he was hungry. God doesn't need food from his disciples. He did it because he was making a point. He has a true body, a real human body. And our Lord has two reasons for making such a big deal about his body today. The first is to inspire faith in his disciples that Christ is truly risen, that he is completely restored to life, including his body. Because Christ was and is a man, and a man is a body and a soul united together. So if Christ, after the resurrection, didn't have a body, he would not really be risen, because he would be a soul still separated from its body, which is what we call death. Furthermore, a bodiless Christ would be a monster, a ghost, not the glory of mankind. But Christ is indeed the glory of mankind, and his risen body is the proof that man can rise from the dead. The second reason our Lord has for making such a big deal about his body is to show us what our own bodies will be like if, please God, we get to heaven. Christ's body is what is described as being glorified, and in heaven, our own bodies will also be glorified. And it's important for us to understand what this glorified body is like, because otherwise heaven can start to sound really boring. We might have visions of floating clouds and soft harp music, and everything's very soft and quiet and soothing. And that might be enjoyable for about 5 minutes, and then that's going to get pretty dull. Or we may have heard that in heaven we will contemplate God forever, which sounds great, but anyone who has prayed consistently can tell you that in this life, prayer is not always exciting, prayer is not always joyful, and so it can be very difficult for us to imagine how praying forever is bliss. This is because in our fallen state, it's difficult for us to imagine what the joys of the soul in heaven will be. But what we can grasp much more easily is the joys of the glorified body. Because each of us, on a daily basis, has an experience of the failings of our own body, the little ways or big ways in which it doesn't work quite right. And we can imagine how amazing it would be if everything did work right. That's something we can get excited about. And that excitement can make us start to yearn for heaven, to give us the motivation to take the steps necessary to get there. So what will our glorified bodies be like? Well, first and foremost, our bodies will be perfectly attuned with our souls. The body was always meant to serve the soul. But once sin entered the world, it introduced discord in that relationship. And so our bodies are often sources of temptation. They lead us to do things we don't want to do. But in heaven, those sinful urges will be wiped away, and the body will serve the soul and its desires perfectly. And the result of that perfect union of body and souls is some pretty incredible properties. The first of these is known as impassibility, which simply means the inability to suffer. So in heaven, our bodies will experience no sickness, no hunger, no thirst, no pain of any kind. Now, everyone at some point in their lives knows the horror of seeing their body break down, either due to sickness or just to the frailty that comes with aging. But in heaven, we will experience perfect health for all of eternity. The second property is known as subtlety, which means the ability to control material things around us. We see this in the gospel today when our Lord is able to walk through a solid wall. Now, in this world, when we want to change our surroundings to be more useful to us, it requires us to put forth a lot of work and effort. We have to pour our blood, sweat, and tears into it. But in heaven, our environment will be able to change to suit us simply by us desiring it, because the objects around us will always be aids to us and never obstacles. The third property is agility, and this means that we will be able to move quickly and easily, just as we use the word agility in English today. We will each have perfect control of our body, perfect coordination. We'll move with an elegance and a grace that we don't have now. So this means for those of you who, like myself, aren't that inclined to sports naturally, everyone will finally be able to throw a football with a perfect spiral. But even more than that, each of us will be able to move instantly wherever we wish to go. If there's someone we want to see or a place we want to see, we just think of being there and our bodies will respond and we will be there. There will be no more long car trips or burdensome airplane rides in heaven. And the fourth property is clarity. And this means that our bodies will shine with an incredible beauty. We won't need makeup or haircuts or showers or any grooming once whatsoever. Instead, we will just be stunningly beautiful. And this is a result of the glory of the soul overflowing into the body, because the body will be the true window into the soul. It will give a clear image of what the soul is like. And the soul is glorified because it is united to God, and so it shares in His glory. And our body will emit that glory in luminous splendor. Now, if that vision of the glorified body I just described seems hard to believe because it's so fantastic, that makes sense, because it is a truly great vision. It seems too good to be true. All of the limitations of earthly life that we experience every day will be removed. We're basically going to be superheroes. But the greatness of the gift we are to receive does not make it false. If we are admitted to heaven, we will have glorified bodies. Bodies that can't feel pain, that can control matter effortlessly, that can move exactly how we want them to, and that are more beautiful than anything here on earth. This is something we can understand how attractive it is. But we're only able to understand how great the glorified body is because it is the lowest of the gifts of heaven. The much higher gift is seeing God face to face. And it is so much greater that we cannot even begin to imagine how good it will be. But what we can do is to be filled with hope and anticipation, to desire heaven, to work towards heaven, and to take the words of the psalm today to heart. Know that the Lord does wonders for His faithful one. The Lord will hear me when I call upon Him. O Lord, let the light of Your countenance shine upon us. You put gladness into my heart.